Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It's time now for Why It Matters. You know, due to COVID-19, we've seen a boom in fintech startups popping up into the scene. But running a startup is never easy, and help is always welcome. I mean, money-wise, expertise-wise, you name it. Now, early-stage startups can tap on fintech angel operators, a newly launched network featuring some 100 angel investors from fintech companies across Southeast Asia. Fintech angel operators is a network of entrepreneurs and key industry players bringing their on-the-ground expertise to early-stage startups in the region. Now, it's an ecosystem-led initiative, which implies that, well, there are no fees, brokerage, membership, or otherwise if you're plugged into this network. The network will operate with a cohort-based syndicate structure and will include up to 100 founders, executives, and operators in its first batch. Let's find out more about fintech angel operators and their pivotal role an angel investor can play in a startup. On the line with me this morning is Vinay Palathingal, who is Partnerships Lead, Fintech Angel Operators, and Regional Head of Banks for Wise. Good morning, Vinay.
Morning, Elliot.
It is an interesting world we're in right now. And you guys, Fintech Angel Operators, you've come in as a network of investors with fintech operational expertise. I mean, apart from money, we often overlook how important expertise is when it comes to startups.
100%. We are the first fintech-focused angel investing syndicate in Southeast Asia. So individually, we are founders, senior executives, and industry experts. And collectively, we believe we're a startup's unfair advantage to winning in fintech in Southeast Asia. So smart founders often know that cherry-picking the right investors will set them up with a competitive edge in the long run. So what we do at Fintech Angel Operators is provide a Rolodex to give entrepreneurs just that.
When you talk about, you know, earlier I mentioned how there are no fees. I mean, no brokerage, membership, or any other fees. I mean, how does that benefit Fintech Angel Operators?
So startup founders can generally kind of go about many ways trying to find their right match. But what we're doing is basically strategic capital discovery. So if you have a great company, everyone wants to invest in you, but you need the right folks, right? So you need the right experience to help navigate through the challenges involved in running a fintech. By having that Rolodex, we're basically providing that value. So the need for brokerage fees, the need for management fees, sort of gets eliminated because we're providing that value already.
I like how you mentioned there's going to be the need for expertise or skills. Can we touch on that a little bit? I mean, what kind of specific skills does each angel investor bring? Any, or perhaps if you have an example or a case study you could share?
Yeah, 100%. I think, first of all, like if we just look at one, the ecosystem in Southeast Asia, if you look at the distance between, say, Sydney and Melbourne, there isn't very much difference in the operational landscape. But if you look at the distance between Singapore and Jakarta, there's a phenomenal difference in that operational landscape. So someone that's actually experienced in running a fintech, whether that's in Indonesia or whether that's in Vietnam, and you're able to kind of understand the culture, the consumer preferences, maybe the payment regulations, it can vary really tremendously from, say, a bank level to a wallet level. So being able to kind of navigate through that is really valuable. Mm-hmm. And then another thing I would mention, too, is that just being able to have a conversation with multiple angles, especially at the early stage of setting up a company when you're trying to understand how to proceed maybe for the next 2 to 3 years with the next kind of fundraising and everything that you have to do, providing that lens is really valuable.
I can imagine how helpful it'll be for anyone in a startup, because if you ask me, I'd be totally lost. Vinay, what about you personally? I mean, what do you bring to the table?
So a little bit about me. I'm Singaporean, but I really started out in fintech in New York when the industry was still getting on its feet. I recently returned to Singapore, and in my time in the past, I've scaled a suite of products and kind of expanded offerings across US and LATAM for a fintech company in the US called Arcus. So I've seen the ins and outs of scaling a company in the B2B payments vertical. So what happens at a certain growth velocity? How do you adjust for that? How do you calibrate for that? Just so that a company is able to function. So what I see is that scaling has to be done sustainably, and I've done multiple angel investments so far and I understand what is so important for founders to be paired with the right angels. So that's a little bit of what I bring to the table. And what I hope to continue to do is work with fintech angel operators and expand our network. And just a little bit about us as well, if I could just add, is that if people would like to get involved, we're a growing network of angels from companies like Stripe, Grab, Wise, which is my current employer. Getting involved with us is super easy. If anyone wants to get more about us, you can go to fintechangeloperators.com and get in touch.
I bet you, being in this stage of the ecosystem, you get to see a lot of trends, and you know, plus your experience in New York. What kind of trends are you seeing now where the fintech sector is concerned? And how much is COVID-19 changing these trends or evolving these trends?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think, touching on the COVID-19 piece, what we're really seeing is the adoption of digital payments, especially across Southeast Asia. I mean, this is a region that just has a massive underbanked and unbanked population. If you just look at Indonesia, you have a 267 million population, 92 million are unbanked, not even, say, provided with any banking services, which is 34% of the population. The number for Philippines is 48%, Vietnam 52%. So when we have, you know, innovative ways to actually bring and bridge the gap in terms of financial inclusion, that's massive, right? So maybe some of the early trends that we're seeing actually in this early stage startup space is probably going to be the nexus of what happens in the next 5 to 10 years, because we're getting involved quite early. We're also seeing an increasing consumer purchasing or savings power increase region-wide. What this means is there's an acceleration of consumer-facing financial services, so retail investing, savings, card products, etc. And we think that'll be best served by the next generation of consumer-facing products. And I think finally, the B2B processes are also improving. After the first wave of digitization, like I mentioned, during COVID-19, which was initially focused on e-commerce and digital consumer behavior, we're also seeing trends between merchants who themselves are also becoming more digitized. We're also seeing more digital solutions. So we're seeing this across B2B payments, cross-border transactions, merchant financing, and a bunch of other financial services as well.
I mean, it was incredible, some of the stats you brought up of populations that are unbanked. And when you look at that, and even though you see so much conversations about digitalization, fintech, This space, does it still have a lot more room in terms of more startups entering? How far away are we from it being a saturated market?
So I think the ecosystem is so fragmented in Southeast Asia that there's just a lot of room for things to be fixed, things to be understood and maybe even reframed, right? So I think payment regulation in Southeast Asia is still in the very early stages. You have buy now, pay later startups popping up that are providing access to credit in a way that's never been done before, right? I mean, if you have a credit card, I think that generally implies that you're middle income. Mm-hmm. But just kind of providing that access to credit by way of a buy now, pay later scheme, for example, to an average Malaysian or Indonesian can be amazing, right? So that's just an example, I think, of the types of things that we're seeing popping up.
And I like that you brought up the buy now, pay later. And, you know, while it does give you access to credit that we've not seen before, it also does come with its fair share of criticism. I mean, how do you balance the landscape with all these fintechs or even digital banks versus your traditional banks? I mean, what role, in your opinion, does a traditional bank play as we head into the future?
I think a traditional bank at the moment really has the reputation going for it. If you want to keep a place for your money, your hard-earned money, you go to the bank, right? And I think what we're seeing is that is being challenged increasingly as we're having, you know, broader protocols in terms of security, in terms of how you store your data. Mm. And we're finding that maybe banks do a great job, but fintechs do a great job as well, right? So I think that trust center is also kind of moving, and I think consumer preferences are also changing as a result.
All right, so let's get into the educational side of things. I want to talk about, and I actually just want to ask you for some tips when it comes to pitching to a potential angel investor. I mean, what should a startup get in order before they even think about, you know, looking at funding?
Yeah, I think we generally kind of assess companies at an early stage. So most of all, we want to see a fit within the network just to get an initial idea of which angel investors could fit to add the most value. So I think, first of all, for us, at least, we look at fintech as a vertical. So that's where we have the experience. That's where we can also value add. But in terms of when we see a pitch, I've kind of sat in the multiple pitches so far. Generally, I think what we would love to see is a well-prepared presentation that can address, one, the product really well. Why does it work? Why does it make sense? And then two, monetization. How is this going to be sustainable beyond venture money? How do we get to a revenue positive kind of model? And then three, what is the kind of long run impact? Or what is the goal for the founder? How do they see this as kind of being beneficial either to the industry or maybe even for a broader kind of initiative?
Yeah, I love those pitches. It's kind of like Shark Tank without the dramatic music. But Vinay, I'm curious for you personally, right? When you're at these things, what impresses you?
What impresses me is when someone really brings some experience and some kind of really kind of life-changing moment that makes them think, okay, let me drop everything. Let me actually see how I can change the world with a fintech idea. And I think that's beautiful to see when kind of founders come to the table with that. I was actually just thinking this morning how I've been so impressed by a founder that I met in New York that had, you know, multiple student loans. She went to school at Stanford Business School, which obviously is expensive, did her MBA, realized that paying down those bills are really challenging in the U.S., right? So kind of started a company just to solve that problem. So the way she did it is that she didn't just think of it from a consumer angle, but how can she change the infrastructure to fix that? So I kind of love seeing founders come from that perspective.
Yeah, and the spillover effect is that it encourages education, which is so important.
100%. I think without the education and awareness around managing your finances, people wouldn't get very far.
Wow, great conversation. I've been speaking with Vinay Palathinkal, who is Partnerships Lead, FinTech Angel Operators and Regional Head of Banks for WISE. Vinay, I appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks so much, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.